Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Dr. Heidi Lowbrice is here. She has a special interest in dentistry and especially senior pets. And she has edited this giant book, massive book. It's an amazing book called Small Animal Senior Care, Blackwell's 5-Minute Veterinary Consult Clinical Companion. First of all, this book, really, some undertaking, 5 minutes to read, maybe 5 days to read, Heidi. I don't know.
There's a lot of information in there, for sure.
Yeah, there sure is. And let's start with this. When you first went into or became a veterinarian years ago, the description of what a senior pet was then compared to today might even be different. Here's what I'm getting at. We have more senior pets than ever before.
Absolutely. And I'd say back in the day, yes, we're talking decades here, Steve, people would either say, take the dog's age and multiply it by 7, or a dog is senior at 7 years of age. And that's not really the case. So as we look at dogs in particular, the smaller the dog is, the longer its lifespan. So at 7, a Chihuahua may still be a healthy adult, but a Great Dane is really old.
Okay, and that much I think we've known. And cats also are, I want to include cats in all this, they're living longer than ever before as well. But here's what you might be getting at, what we know today, is how they age. So a dog that is 14, that is about to turn 15, is aging really fast. That's an increase in age that is maybe more than 7 years if it's a larger dog. And if it's a cat, that cat turning 24, who is 23, same thing. Am I describing that right?
Pretty close. I mean, you know, 23, that's pretty darn old for a cat. They're considered seniors across the board at about 11, okay? But as we start looking at even charts that we've made in the past, looking at relative age of dogs and looking at how the life expectancy of cats, we are seeing a gradual increase in that life expectancy because of the good care they're getting. And as they turn into seniors, as they become seniors, or I like to say upgraded into the senior category, they need more care. They need more regular examinations at least twice a year, regular blood work, good dental care, I might add. So that way, as we look, we talk about life expectancy, I don't want it to just be a number. I want to think of health span versus lifespan. And that health span is a period of time that the pet is relatively healthy before it gets chronic illnesses or things that will lead eventually to its passing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we have more senior pets than ever before, but we also understand how to care for them, I believe, than ever before as well. But sometimes this doesn't trickle down to pet parents, or caring for them may become even overwhelming. Can you comment on that?
Absolutely. So there's a couple things here. First off, nobody wants to admit they're getting old. Even you, Steve.
No, I'm not. And, hold on.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I am. But it's also can be quite traumatic for them to consider that their pet may be getting old, because they want to keep that pet for as long as they can, right? But as we look at this too, we need to make sure that they're more aware that losing weight, not eating as well, not getting around as well, I don't like saying he's just getting old. Mm-hmm. Because there may be osteoarthritis, there may be a GI issue, there may be kidney issues, and if we can diagnose them early by the owners picking up on those clues, then we can keep them, again, extend that health span, keep them as healthy as possible. Because once they do become, have a chronic illness or disability or things like that, even cognitive issues, getting senile, it can be a burden on that caregiver. And that's something we have to appreciate as well. We have to understand what's going on.
Are we seeing more of certain illnesses because our pets are living longer, including what might be considered dementia in people, called canine or feline cognitive dysfunction syndrome in our pets?
Absolutely. That cognitive dysfunction, again, sleeping more, sleep-wake cycles not being quite right, cats, excessive vocalization, all of these things. But one particular one is anxiety in seniors. We tend to see more anxiety, separation anxiety, different things like this, and that's not happy for them. So we, as we're getting our patients through more years, through good medical care, some of these other changes occur. Osteoarthritis, cancer incidents, things like this. Kind of like us.
What do you mean, kind of like us?
Well, you know, as we get older, we can get some dementia issues and forgetting things. And as we get older, we don't move around quite as well, and the incidence of tumors and things like that. As humans, we know we need to do certain things for checkups, regular assessments, you know, maybe a colonoscopy or something like that. And we need that additional level of care for our patients as well.
Well, all right. So I want to talk about some of what you just rattled off here so well. One, you mentioned the word anxiety, and I argue,
yes,
and I'll hear whether you agree or not, that there's a certain level of anxiety, depending on the pet, but some level as they move into their geriatric years in particular, for any dog or cat. At least humans, we understand kind of what's going on with us, but there's no way to explain to a pet why you can't do this. There's no way to explain to a pet why the other dog is going out for a walk and you're staying home alone. There's no way to explain why the cat can no longer jump on the couch to be with you. All of those things and many, many more. I suggest there are some proactive things we could do to mitigate this anxiety that I suggest exists for all of these animals, no matter what, such as pheromone products. There's a new line called Secure by the guy who originally created the pheromones in the first place, Dr. Patrick Paget, as just one example. My point, though, is not about the product so much as being proactive.
Correct. And in fact, we have some acronyms, something called DISHA, about canine cognition. Purina has an excellent website that goes over those things to look for. And it used to be just one A. They added in a second A just for anxiety for seniors.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the eyesight is decreased. Maybe the hearing is decreased. Maybe they are a little bit cognitively compromised. So we need to look. You mentioned the pheromones. I think you've heard a term called environmental enrichment, Steve.
All right. I will.
I think that's your chapter in the book.
Yes. I'm honored to say I participated in this book. We'll talk more about that and my chapter when we come back with Dr. Heidi Lobreis, who let the cat out of the bag on WGN. Dr. Heidi Lobreis is a veterinarian who has a special interest in dental issues as well as senior care in general. So no wonder she's the one who put this together, Small Animal Senior Care, a book which I can say, and you said before the break, you wrote a chapter, Steve. Actually, I think two, or parts of two,
yes,
chapters.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm grateful for that, Dr. Lobreis. All right. You mentioned enrichment. Great grandpa said, if you don't use it, you lose it, or something like that. Is that true with our pets?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was with some people today, and we were talking about what's the favorite dog. And I'm saying, well, you know, if you get a working dog, you better give it a job. And even as they start getting older, yeah, they may be sleeping more, but maybe we need to engage them a little bit more. Make sure they get quality time with us, especially if there's other pets in the household, okay? In fact, some might do better having their own special place where they can sometimes get away and have quiet time. And then you mentioned it too, Steve, as they're, oh, I can't get up on the couch, or it's tough to get up on the bed. Well, I happen to have a copy of the book in front of me, and it looks like some adorable owner placed some lovely pillows so their older cat could more easily get up on the bed. Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
I do. So you making changes to adjust to the pet and what the pet can do, because you know what? Cats still want to climb. Dogs still want to, and cats, be with us as well. None of that changes. Just some of their ability changes, Dr. Loprice.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes, again, picking up on early things, the cat's not jumping up like it used to. The dog is slower getting up. Well, is there arthritis? You know, we have ways we can help treat that.
Well, I want to talk.
A friend of ours, who's a behaviorist, Dr. Amy Pike, told me a story of the lady with her older cat that she was so glad she had finally taught the cat not to jump up on the counters. Then she got some medication for the cat that helped with the osteoarthritis, and apparently the cat wasn't as well trained as she thought. So she could still climb up.
Yes. I've heard those same stories that Dr. Pike has heard. All right. So I want to talk about cats a little bit and arthritis. Cats are magicians. And not only for arthritis, actually, Dr. Loprice, but anything that's going on with them. How do we know? Because they magically make illness disappear, or so it seems. Their intent is for us not to see it. They are amazing when it comes to masking pain.
They are magicians is a great word, because I think they have a little bit more of that wild in them. They don't want to show a weakness. So they're not going to show that weakness until they can no longer hide it. And by that point, they may have significant disease. It could be kidney disease. It could be the osteoarthritis. It could be heart disease. This is why certainly we can teach owners what signs to look for. Is there more urine in the litter box? Maybe they're having issues with kidney disease or diabetes. Is their appetite changing a little bit? And so huge for cats over 11, 13 years of age, cats actually have a higher energy metabolism and lower digestibility of food, so we tend to see weight loss. Keep a pet scale at home. Measure them once a month.
I love
really critical.
Yes. I love what you just said. So I want to talk about that more, because we do have a, I think, epidemic in America of overweight and obese pets. So if you have a larger dog, you could just, if possible, put the dog on the scale. If it's a mid-sized dog, hold the dog. Don't show anyone what your weight is, but then subtract that to figure out what the weight of the pet is. Or for cats or very small dogs, get a pet scale or a baby scale, I think. And they're affordable and available on Amazon easily enough. I think that epidemic is not too strong of a term. And the result is that for cats, we see diabetes now like we never have before.
Correct. And while this overweight, I was mentioning the weight loss as a senior, as that 7 to a 10, 11-year-old cat, being overweight is a huge risk factor for diabetes. And I'm going to segue into something even more interesting here. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so excess fat, especially visceral fat, and I'm kind of looking in the mirror right now. I can really empathize with this. It increases the inflammation within the body. And chronic inflammation in the body, they actually name it inflammaging in people. It impacts aging, almost every system in the body. And in fact, in people, they've shown that when there is that inflammation, there is a greater morbidity, which means incidence of disease, and higher mortality in those people. So inflammaging. Word of the day.
No, That's a new word for me, actually. So in the book, you describe very well, and by the way, this book is really for veterinary professionals, but not. I would argue that Dr. Lobrize, people care in a incredibly passionate way about their animals and are not adverse to reading information, because all of this, you have a lot of diagrams and you explain it so well that I think your average pet owner may enjoy reading Small Animal Senior Care and certainly get a lot from it.
Especially if they have insomnia, it might help as well.
That would be my books, but that's a whole other story. All right.
Now, Mary Gardner has some excellent books for pet owners, and I think she has a bunch on Amazon, too. The thing of it is, these processes are not dissimilar from ours. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're finding out that, not so much cats, but in dogs, the aging processes are so similar to people, but on a shorter time frame, that they're a really good model for different studies.
Yes, I'm aware that human researchers have for years now been studying dogs' aging process and have found it to be very, very similar, if not in many ways identical, to the way we age. That's some of us, not you for sure. I want to come back, though, and talk about pain, and something about pain that I recently learned about that you write about in the book Small Animal Senior Care as well. And we will do that with Dr. Heidi Lobrize on WGN. Chew! So many people are allergic to cats. It's one of the most common allergies on the planet. And it's certainly a significant reason why cats are relinquished to animal shelters or not adopted in the first place. You know what? All of that has changed. So let me explain. If you're allergic to cats, you're not allergic to the cat, and you're not allergic to the dander or the hair itself. You're actually allergic, get this, to a protein on the cat's saliva. Cats then groom themselves. It's a sticky protein, so it sticks to them. And as cats then walk around the house or wherever, and the hair then drops off as they shed, or they just rub against something, whether it be a table leg, whether it be a wall that they walk along, or whether it be you, or you pet the cat. It's a sticky protein. It sticks to you. That is what you are allergic to. It's that protein. The protein actually has a name, FELD1 or FELD1. So Purina has this brilliant, it's amazing. The scientist, and you can read more about it on my website, stevedale.tv, got up one morning and said, I'm going to solve the problem. Well, maybe he didn't quite say it that way, but that's what it took years for him to do. And he came up with this idea of neutralizing the protein with an egg product found in this specific cat food that does do the trick. So the protein that causes the allergy is now neutralized. It cannot do that anymore. So if you were once allergic and had runny eyes and sneezed and all those other things that happen when you're allergic, either the allergic response is significantly lessened or in many cases completely goes away just by feeding your cat a certain food that neutralizes the protein that caused the allergies. Ah, I think I explained that well, didn't I? Or at least adequately. The food is called Purina Pro Plan Live Clear. It's available wherever cat food is sold, pretty much. It's not a prescription diet, so it's not crazy expensive or anything like that. It's a Purina Pro Plan diet, so it's a good diet for your cat. What's most important for me is that this means, as more people know about this cat food, more cats can and will be adopted from shelters. People who used "I'm allergic" as an excuse won't be able to do that anymore. Fewer cats relinquished to shelters, and therefore, I love it. Purina Pro Plan Live Clear. Dr. Heidi Lobrize, who is probably thinking, when is he going to ask me about dentistry. I promise I will. The name of the book is Small Animals Senior Care. It's all about aging pets, and we have more aging pets in America than we ever have had before. And I will tell you, unless you've lived with, and most of you probably have, an aging dog or a cat, a couple things. What's really interesting is they all age different ways. I suppose that's very much like people, Dr. Lobrise. But you can do some, a lot of it is genetics, but you can do some things to set your pets up for a longer period of healthier life before problems begin to happen. At least, I think in many cases you can by visiting your veterinarian twice a year for life, in my opinion, from the very, very beginning and not waiting until there are problems because dogs and cats age so much faster than we do. So twice a year to me, and there's data to demonstrate this actually, seems about right. But moreover, a proper nutrition throughout their lifetimes, good exercise, keeping the animal at a fairly appropriate weight and even on the thinner side, but building up that muscle through life because they may lose it later in life, which is something you are, I think, about to talk about with cats.
Yes, and so I love that discussion about, I like the terms wellness and prevention or preventive care through that continuum of care throughout their lives. It's not just, oh, now all of a sudden we have to do more because the cat's 11 or the dog's relative age is, you know, now I'm a senior. We used to do a lot of quality of life assessments at the end of life stages, or for severe disease, cardiac disease, cancers, but we're now looking more at quality of life assessments, again, through that continuum. And part of it certainly is healthy weight, a good diet, free from discomfort, and being comfortable is so important. In fact, if there's a recent sudden behavior change in pets, the first thing we're taught is to look for some source of pain or discomfort and make sure that they can stay comfortable. Because if they're comfortable, they maintain mobility. They can maintain, again, that muscle mass we were talking about. I'm Medicare age now, so I make sure I get good protein all the time. And the weight management is a little challenging for me, but I'm still working on it. Exercise. Boy, our pets are almost like us. It's tough to get a cat to exercise, but you know what? You can play with them.
Oh, and I think you should, no matter what the cat's age is. And the definition of what play looks like may be different with a kitten compared to a 16-year-old cat, for sure. One thing that a friend of mine, my guess is you know Dr. Tammy Grubb as well, who's an,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a world-renowned expert on pain. And she taught me that in humans, there is a link between, significant link between depression and chronic pain. And I would suspect the same is true for our pets as well. You touched on it a bit earlier, but dealing with the pain isn't only a quality of life issue because we want our pets to be comfortable, but it's a mental health issue as well? Or am I crazy?
Well, we know you're crazy,
so let's
go
yes.
away from that.
Yeah.
but it's, sometimes we may be probably just thought of all the medical aspects of pets as being veterinary medicine, but when you look at pets, animal welfare, quality of life, we do know that emotions and their outlook, so to speak, on life is an important part of that quality. And if you are uncomfortable, if you're painful, you're just going to be grumpy. You're not going to be very happy. So we want to, again, that health span. We want to keep them as healthy for as long as possible.
And not only that, sleep becomes interrupted as well. And just like in humans, if you constantly have sleep interruption and don't have a good night's sleep, you may be quote-unquote grumpy as well. So as that pet ages and someone – you're at a cocktail party now, Dr. Lobrise, and someone comes up to you and says, oh, my old pet has gotten grumpy, dog or cat, doesn't matter. Are you thinking, well, yeah, maybe, but there's a reason for that, and it's not just because they're getting old.
And that statement, oh, they're just getting old, oh, drives me nuts. Of course, some people say age is not a disease. Yeah, but aging is a pretty interesting process. So if there are those changes, like we've mentioned, behavior changes, rule out any pain, okay? If they're not getting around as well, let's look at the pain. Let's look at the combination of, are they eating okay? So many times, everything kind of fits in together and snowballs off each other. Remember, we're talking about anxiety. Anxiety can actually enhance their pain perceptions as well. So that's why before surgery, we look at using medications that help decrease anxiety. So they'll be more stable, happier, and we can manage that pain better. So all along, yeah, they may be grumpy. Is there some pain? Is there cognitive issues? Are they starting to get maybe a little bit of puppy dementia in there? And how are we going to work with them, sometimes work with the environment, and at least recognize that those changes, we should rule out medical causes as well.
Well, if it's common for older pets, particularly geriatric pets, to not have the appetite that they once did. And You know where I'm going. People then say the cat's just being extra finicky, or the dog. What's the first thing you think about?
Well, as we're looking at what's going on, even though there may be some dental pain, oral pain, most patients will still eat pretty well, but we've got to rule out any issues with the mouth, okay? And if the mouth is healthy, then again, the dementia or discomfort, maybe they forgot how to get to the food bowl. Maybe it hurts to bend their neck down to get to the food. We need to look at all those aspects and provide the nutrition they need, maybe smaller meals more frequently, maybe adding in some stinky stuff or warm it up a little bit. We might have to work with that pet to see what works best for them and their diet.
And dental health, which you just alluded to a little bit. And I want to talk more about what you love talking about. I know that. And we will do that when we come back on WGN with Dr. Heidi Lopreis. Dr. Heidi Lopreis has an affinity, I think is safe to say, and a very special interest in senior care for pets. In fact, the book she edited is called Small Animals, Senior Care, Blackwell's 5-Minute Veterinary Consult, Clinical Companion. Why senior pets? What is it about these senior pets that encourages you to think, you know, we've got to do more for them?
Yes. Well, certainly these days I'm more empathetic about senior problems. but literally, even though my background is a veterinary dental specialist, I was working with some people and we started talking about senior pets. We know that they need additional care, but you know, the resources are sometimes hard to get for veterinary teams and even for owners. So that did pique my interest as to how can we help? How can we advocate for these senior pets? As we look at it, I consider it a team sport with the caregivers and the veterinary team, because it's important for those caregivers, the owners, to be able to recognize when things are more than just he's getting old. Are we looking at an early disease? Plus, having good, regular physical exams, blood work when needed, x-rays when needed, to make sure we're not missing some changes. And it may not even, like, blood changes, blood values that go up a little bit. But what if that's been trending slowly and gradually upwards? Kidney function, things like this. Then we can be much more proactive with watching them carefully, watching for any episodes that they might have a downturn. Because if we treat something in the earlier stages, We have staging for kidney disease called IRIS, I-R-I-S. And then we have staging for cardiac disease for pets. And we'd much rather start managing those at the early side of the disease itself.
Absolutely. I want to talk about just that specifically with what your special interest is and specialty is, and that's dentistry. Keeping on top of dental issues so they don't become issues earlier in life, does that make things easier later in life for that pet and potentially less expensive for that pet parent?
So a continuum of care with dental care, home care, regular professional cleaning under general anesthesia. I could talk for a whole hour on that. You know, we do have those patients, especially when they come to me, that have a lot of extractions and they're older, and people may be concerned about the anesthesia. Well, most of us are getting better at anesthesia with older pets. I'm very comfortable with it. But I know the benefits of a healthy mouth greatly outweigh the risks of the anesthesia in, almost every patient, all right? And when we get all those nasty teeth out on some of these little dogs and cats, at the two-week visit, people are amazed. They're going, oh, my gosh, he's like a new dog. I didn't know he was in such discomfort, that that inflammation was impacting him so much. And those are really heartwarming. But then I think, what if that dog never had to go through those years of inflammation and periodontal disease and broken teeth and pain and was healthy with each step? That would be even better.
Yeah.
A little more boring, but better.
Well, in our time remaining, I want to talk about cancers. Many cancers that we get, our pets get, dogs in particular, but cats too. In general, it is a disease, or they are diseases of the aged, and we're seeing more of it. Environmental factors may play a role, but simply our pets living longer likely plays a role as well. I think we're as afraid sometimes of the C word, cancer, with our pets as we are with any of us, and often for good reason, Dr. Loprise. But on the other hand, for some kinds of cancers, there's lots we can do.
Absolutely. And certainly, groom your pet on a regular basis, checking their ears. As you're brushing or wiping the teeth, you can look for any abnormal tissues there. And we talk about doing a skin map or taking a picture if there's a lump or something you're not sure about. Get a photo of it with a ruler or penny next to it. So you don't have to, well, I think that's getting bigger. No, you can look at the picture from before and see if it's changing. It's very similar to people. If something looks irregular, if it's quickly growing, if there's bleeding, anything like that, it's better to get it checked out.
Are there some, you see these fatty lumps, these lipomas, on these older pets, and if you discover one, but you were just at the vet 2 weeks ago, you know, and neither the veterinarian or you caught it for whatever reason. I mean, how do you know when to go back? Is there a guide as to sometimes helping pet parents to understand, okay, this one's going to be benign?
Yeah, it's very challenging without doing some kind of testing. So if you have concern about any lump or bump, quite often a fine needle aspiration can give some clues to your veterinarian as to if there's just fat there or if there are cells that may be malignant, okay? So if they actually get cells that do look like there's a malignancy or cancer, obviously you're going to do something right away. If it just seems like a fat or no cells are obtained, we're still going to monitor that site and then keep a watch on it, look for any changes. Again, those photos can be quite helpful. If it's worth cutting out, it's worth sending off to the lab to make sure that nothing's going on.
Is there a cancer? I mean, there's no cancer that you want to see, but are there some cancers where you're telling your clients today, not 10 or 20 years ago, but today, this is treatable and likely curable.
Yeah, so we do have some, certainly early detection, even of skin cancers, things like this. If we have enough area that we can take it out completely, that's quite helpful. There's even some such as mast cell tumors now that we have an injection that can help with those. And there's even a melanoma vaccine that's possible. But most of these work best with early detection, early identification.
You know, that's a common theme in the book and a common theme for our conversation today. Early detection makes the most sense and is most helpful, not only at the end of the day, I would argue, for your pocketbook, but most importantly, for your pet's welfare. The name of the book, Small Animal Senior Care, Blackwell's 5-Minute Veterinary Consult Clinical Companion with the lady who says, I have a face for radio. She's not wrong about that.
You're never going to forget that one, are you?
No, you stood up at an event with like 500 people there and said, that's the guy back there with the face for radio. But I loved it. I love you. You are wonderful. Dr. Heidi Lobreis, thank you so much. If you've ever had a cat live past the age of 10 or 11, I'm sure you know this. The most common illness in older cats is chronic kidney disease. In fact, up to 40% of cats over 10 and as many as 80% over the age of 15. And we now have a lot of cats living over the age of 15. So here's the good news. There is now a cheek swab test that will be available very, very soon that will determine and detect a predisposition to chronic kidney disease in cats. It was developed by veterinarians at Washington State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Your veterinarian will soon be able to make that available to you. And then you know earlier that, okay, these are the steps I've got to take because it is more likely that my cat, as my cat ages, will be suffering from chronic kidney disease. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.